Hey folks, happy long weekend. It is Labor Day, the 4th of September 2017, and you're listening to episode 63 of AIH Superfans podcast, and I am one of your superfan, super duper pals. My name is Alan, and on Twitter you can find me at Slip with five eyes, or Slip.
Yo, this is Roddy, and I'm at Big Poppy Peg City.
And this is Chris, C-Mac Live.
How has your summer been, boys?
Shitty.
Really? Why has your summer been so shitty? Because the Bombers lost yesterday? Is that...
Yeah. Kissing my cornflakes this morning, and yeah. No, it's been great. Good summer.
Chris,
how's it going? Not a lot of complaints. It's been busy, couple of times out of town, and it's been good. How about you?
Have you been bullying a lot of people on your mail routes over the summer, or what?
It's what I do best, in fact.
It's awesome.
I'm glad to have a new nickname. Thank you.
Summer in Toronto's been good. All the stuff I like to do doesn't happen in the summer. It happens in the fall, so I'm looking forward to September starting, but it was a good summer. Toronto's a good place
to spend it. You look like you've been pretty busy, man.
In the summer? I guess so. I mean...
You've been all over the place.
Well, the photos show that I've been to places. The time in between has been spent walking around my neighborhood and watching wrestling on television at home. So it's really not that eventful. But, you know, that's how it is. I am coming home to Winnipeg this week, though, but it's going to be a quick one, so I don't know if I'm going to see anyone. But I'll be in town, so if any of you people who don't like me want to beat me up, I will be around for my opinions on the Jets.
Hey, don't worry. There's four guys got your back, son.
That's right. Superfans unite. Let's fucking rumble with the pom-poms.
That's right.
Should we schedule something for a certain establishment then?
When I'm back?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to have a night. To be totally honest, maybe Sunday later, but that might be the only one. But I'm in, and then I'm out of town for a couple of days up at Victoria Beach, and got to visit parents, and then that's it. Trip is over. I have to work when I'm home, too. Blech. We'll see.
We'll figure something.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch. Then we'll tell everybody where we're at, and they can come and throw things at us. So, anyways, let's talk about the Jets. You know, it's been a month, so in case anybody's wondering, it is still not October yet. We have 1 month until, you know, so keep wishing your lives away for the next month. But in the meantime, there is a hockey team in the city. They're called the Winnipeg Jets. We haven't talked about them for a month, and there's been a few things that have happened in the last month, so I sent you a little list, and I'm just looking it over. Where should we start? Why don't we start with... big signing in the...
Huge.
A huge game changer. What was it, on August 26th? Is that when they signed him? Jets sign Matt Hendricks. I'm looking at the Jets site on NHL.com right now. The Winnipeg Jets announced they have agreed to terms with forward Matt Hendricks on a one-year contract with an average annual value of $700,000. Hendricks, 36, spent the last four seasons with the Edmonton Oilers. And what you really need to know is that he is not a point producer. He is a face puncher. And pretty much, I think the idea is if he's going to be used in any capacity, it's kind of the Thorburn replacement. Is that kind of how you guys are seeing it?
Sure. The summer of Chevy continues. The greatest summer. The fact that we're replacing a Thorburn... the fact that we're even talking about it as a replacement for Thorburn, in the grand scheme of things, is a great example of how this organization is, or what this organization is. It's perplexing.
It's really scary to think that that's the sort of guy you're targeting, like. Everybody all over. If you're not against it, your whole philosophy is, "What's the big deal? He's just 700 grand. Big, who cares? If that's the guy you're targeting, that's scary, man. That's what's the big deal. And on top of it, your coach is probably going to play him. So that's scary also.
A one-way deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And on top of, on top of it, you've got a guy that doesn't fight anymore. His only two attributes are face-off percentage and penalty killing. Apparently, he's not a very good penalty killer, and we all know how important face-off percentage is. So it's all scary. So people that are just like, it's a throwaway, it doesn't matter. First of all, in no business do you just throw away 700 grand. And second of all, if, again, to beat a dead horse, if that's the sort of player that's important to your franchise that you need to have, it's a little scary, especially if he ends up playing for the Jets.
Well, he's on a one-way deal, right? So he'll be a growing concern all year, taking up a roster spot in and out of the press box. What do you think? Or are they going to send him down?
Unless he goes down right away, right?
The only signing this summer is going right down to the A.
Well, he's not the only signing. There have been a couple of signings, right?
Well, we've re-signed people, right? Did we sign anybody from outside the organization other than him and Kulikov?
Yeah, Steve Mason.
Oh, right.
Do you not follow this team, dude?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Steve Mason's going to change everything.
I know what you're saying.
That was so long ago.
I know what you're saying, though. They didn't sign anybody outside of their needs. They didn't make a, if you will, a splash. They did sign on the first day or whatever. But those guys were needs, and I think, whatever, we'll see how they play out. But I think Chevy's getting a lot of credit for signing things that he had to do. You know what I mean? There was no question he needed that D-man. He needed a goalie. He got them. So you get props on one hand that you did what you had to do, but do you really get like this, like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that, when all you're doing is just fixing a need? The only thing he's done above and beyond has been Hendrick.
Well, even that, he could argue that they think that there's a need for some grit on the team, and so he's just really replacing that, right? Like, you lost Pavlik, and so you replaced him with Mason. You lost... He didn't really lose anyone on the blue line, right? But, I mean, I guess maybe Mark Stewart? So you
didn't lose anybody, but you had a hole.
Yeah, so you brought in Kulikov, and now you lost Thorburn, so you bring in Hendricks. And you basically walk into next season with the same team that you left the last season with.
Which is fine if you deploy everybody correctly and play everybody in the right spot.
Agreed.
But the problem is Hendricks is going to take a spot in the roster that'll muck up any progress that should be happening with the forward core, right? Am
I wrong? All right, so I'm looking over on arcticicehockey.com. I think we're still affiliated with the site.
Are we?
I have no idea. The site with no boss right now, so there's no one there to boot us off. So I'm looking because they have just recently finished posting their top 25 under 25. And so why don't I run down the list from the top, and maybe when I get to players who we think might be in jeopardy of losing a roster spot because of this signing, this Hendrick signing, and that we're upset about. So let's see how we react here. So number one,
where do you slot him?
Where do I?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Sorry, Alan. That's what I was going to say. What you're having is, if he plays, what's going to make it worse is there's a mentality that Adam Lowry's your third line center again.
Right. So then now
you're not winning a conference with Adam Lowry as your third line center. Great player, whatever, but that's not how you're going to win.
So the immediate loser is who?
Nick Batan.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Okay, so let's count this down. So number one is Mark Scheifele, so he's safe, obviously. Number two, Jacob Trouba. He's safe until they trade him. So that's good. number three is Patrick Laine. He is safe for now. Number four, where the hell is number four? Nick Ehlers, who's going to sign a giant contract at the end of the season. Number five is Josh Morrissey, so we're okay there. So we get to number six, Kyle Connor.
Where does he play?
I think I said it the last time we were on air. I think, and because I heard it elsewhere, and it wasn't my own thought, so I won't take credit, but I would love to see him go right to the first line with Scheifele and Wheeler. He's not going to, because we know how Maurice feels about young people.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So where's he gonna? Where does he slot in right now?
So what good is Kyle Connor with Adam Lowry on the third line? Adam Lowry can't keep up with Kyle Connor.
No, it's counterproductive. Like, it's just perplexing. You bring in a guy like Hendricks, and what do you do with this youth now? Like, how do you set up your lines so that they make sense? I mean, are you going to have two grit and sandpaper lines at the bottom six? Like, you're going to mire Nick Pitan on the fourth line as a winger? Like, I don't know. Like,
what's the goal? What's the goal, right? Are you trying to outscore, or are you trying to be half and half? Because it doesn't make any sense to not play a 9-3, right? And it just, you know, they want to play a 6-6.
Okay, so out of the three of us, who trusts Maurice to deploy this team properly?
I would assume none. You know, this is the Superfans podcast, so you know, unless
but honestly, so you go out and sign a Matt Hendricks with the idea that he's going to be on your roster, right? Is that, am I not correct in assuming that, or
yeah, he has to be somewhere on the game day roster. Yeah, he has to be.
Yeah, so whether he's in the press box or on the fourth line, like. From all,
well, they can waive him. They, you know, and try to send him to waiver or to the Moose, and then he's exposed. I don't assume anyone's going to pick up that contract.
Did they ever waive Chris Thorburn?
No, but they waived. You know, they waived Pavlik,
Sit Thorburn.
You know, they waived Straight. They sat Thorburn, like. I'm not necessarily thinking it's doom and gloom that this guy automatically gets into the lineup. He could sit in the press box for 60 games.
So ideally, he'd be competing with Adam Lowry for the fourth center spot, right? But we know that he's not.
Well, no, because Adam Lowry, they see Adam Lowry as a large cut above, right? Above this guy.
Yeah, he's our third line center and first unit power play guy, yeah.
Where is Adam Lowry on this top 25 under 25? Number 7, Connor Hellebuck. Number 8, Mark O'Dano. Number 9, Jack Roslovic. Jack Roslovic, is he on the Moose this year?
Well, if you don't sign Matt Hendricks, maybe not.
No. There's a lot of question marks, and it all centers around these youthful forwards, right?
You know what's scary too on top of this is those conversations Maurice had at the end of last year about they want to mold Tanev into a penalty killer, and they still feel that it's 1984 where you had two guys that killed all your penalties and didn't do anything else. You can't waste roster spots on a guy that isn't a very good penalty killer or to do anything specific like that anymore. Like, I don't know what they're thinking. How is Brian Little and Blake Wheeler not one, and Perreault and, you know, Lowry, your number two penalty killers? Like, you don't need these guys.
No.
Number it's 10. Nope. Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Number 10, Nick Pitan. So Pitan's the one that we're all thinking is fucked in this situation, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's the immediate loser. He lost last year. Right?
Why do you draft these guys if you're not going to give them a chance and you're not going to play them in their specific role?
Well, you have to draft them. Like, you can't just be like, well, we don't have a role, so we're going to pass on the draft pick.
No, but you could draft a guy that like the guys that you want, not a guy like Nick Pitan that clearly you don't see a spot for them.
But they,
because he's not going to replace Brian Little. Jack Roslovic is going to replace them.
That's all they draft are small skilled forwards.
Exactly, but they don't want to play them. Why are you drafting that? Yeah, no, doesn't that seem counterproductive?
It's counterproductive because the guy in charge of deploying these players doesn't deploy them correctly. Like, the coach is working in the complete opposite direction of what they're drafting. Am I wrong with that when I'm talking about the forward core? Like, think about it. That's all they draft up front.
The only thing you got for Andrew Ladd, and you don't want to play him, it seems. Right? The guy you draft, Nick Petan, you don't want to play him, it seems. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. If all you want is those guys, then draft them.
But can we honestly say that there is some sort of a plan?
Well, there's a disconnect somewhere. And so how is a coach being allowed to not play the players that have been drafted? So who's in charge?
Well, we've talked about this before.
And that's the question.
I believe that
that's Roddy, the question we always have.
I believe that Roddy and I have been gotten into heated discussions about this before, because I still point the finger at the GM.
But why? He's putting the right people in place.
Yeah, but he's the boss. He's the coach's boss.
Well, and the boss isn't doing what he should be doing. You're not playing the right systems that are good for the players you have. And you're not playing the right players for, you know what I mean? Like, you're missing both times.
But Chevy's not putting the X's and O's on board, though.
Okay, so exactly. So if the coach is going rogue and the team isn't winning, like, you've agreed that the GM has a different philosophy than the coach, correct?
What? This is all assuming that...
You're telling me that the coach has a different philosophy than the GM.
Is totally in control of this team, though.
Let's put the pieces together here. You think that the coach has a different philosophy than the GM when it comes to player deployment. The general manager is the coach's boss. So what's the third piece here that makes the most logical sense? If you're the boss of somebody and you expect things to be done a certain way and they don't fucking do it for years, what do you do?
What do you do? I don't know. What do you do? There's a lot of moving pieces. There's a lot of parts.
So if you do nothing, then you're not doing your job either. And this coach, it's not like Paul Maurice is on a Mike Babcock contract. He's in the last year. Coaches get fired with less time all the time.
He hasn't been re-signed yet.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been, but coaches get fired immediately but they get fired with many more years left on their contract when those things happen, right? It's very rare. Like, how many situations do we honestly see where you see so-and-so's contract is run out and we've chosen not to renew? It rarely happens. When coaches lose their jobs, it's because they get fired.
Yeah.
And he's still there.
Right. We're talking about an organization. Do we really know who's in control here?
No. That's the whole problem. There has to be a question as to who's in charge. Again, going back to the coaching thing, how do Charlie Huddy and Wade Flaherty still have jobs if Kevin Sheveldayoff is in charge and he has half of a hockey sense? Those guys, it's impossible for those guys to still be employed. So you're right. There's a disconnect as to who's in charge.
That's why I question who's really in charge here.
Because like, no sane person would have let those still guys still
not
be in charge of the worst defense in the league and the 26 goaltending for the last 5 years. It's impossible. Absolutely, that those two guys still are employed.
Just going to draft this much skill to watch them in the press box in the AHL when we haven't had a sniff of the playoffs for real.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree.
So where's the disconnect? Somebody's in charge here that we really like. Pinning all the blame on Chevy is one thing, but there's a guy that owns this team, and there's an organization that owns this team that is really in control, right?
Yeah, but
he's not the guy. The buck doesn't really stop at Chevy.
Yeah, but the guy that runs the organization, maybe he doesn't give a shit about winning, right? Like, keep in mind that this is a team that set the expectation going into last year that they were in a youth movement, and let's translate that into playoffs aren't going to be happening. Now, it looks like the conversation going into this season is very different, right?
Well, right. That's for sure. Yes.
Sure to be your fourth line center.
So if you're sitting there and you're Paul Maurice or Kevin Sheveldayoff, and the team's whole message is going into last year is youth movement, maybe even a step back, you're probably not fearing too much for your job, like, unless you're totally in the toilet. But
They're both on their last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're both on their last year.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think that Chevy's job is in danger as much as
I was going to say, which is really weird, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird that they are not on opposite years of contract now that you kind of think about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. Just to keep rounding out the 25 here, by the way, number 11 is Adam Lowry. Number 12, Joel Armia. Number 13, Christian Vesalainen. Did you guys see the video of him with his his European hockey team?
Yeah.
The hat incident?
Fucking amazing. So for those that didn't see it, I don't know what he said because he was speaking in a Finnish, right? But I'm sure he's basically saying, you know, he's acknowledging that he's not going to play for the Jets. He's playing in whatever town and club team he's playing for overseas this year. So he puts on a ill-fitting Jets hat. It doesn't fit. He tosses it aside and then puts on the other team's hat and addresses the camera. Great.
I was wondering why he never adjusted a snapback before. That seemed really weird, but...
number 14, Andrew Kopp. Andrew Kopp doesn't do it for me at all.
That could be any player in the NHL. That's what I don't like about the guys the Jets hang their hats on. It could be any player. There's how many Andrew Kopps are there in the NHL? I would venture to say there's like at least 40.
Yeah. Number 15, Eric Comrie. He will be with the Moose this year. Number 16, Sammy Niku. Number 17, Tucker Poolman. He signed, right? He signed with the Jets, finally, right? So good for him. Number 18, Michael Spacek. Number 19, Chase DeLeo. Chase DeLeo, I have a feeling he'll never see any serious time with the Jets.
Can we finally say that on the podcast that we say on Twitter all the time for everybody listening that wants Brendan Lemieux to play? You might as well want Chase DeLeo to play because they're the same player, except Chase DeLeo's way better. He just doesn't have the last name that you know. So let's just put that to rest.
But Lemieux's a face puncher.
No, Lemieux's got a great last name, even though you've got a guy that does the exact same things that you think Lemieux does. But you want the name.
Number 20, Mason Appleton. Number 21, Jansen Harkins. Number 22, Brendan Lemieux. Number 23, Logan Stanley? That low? Memorial Cup winner, Logan Stanley? Logan Stanley, now a member of the Kitchener Rangers. He got traded to his hometown. Who knows if he'll end up playing there. Maybe he'll play with the Moose this year. Number 24, Eric Foley, and number 25, Dylan Sandberg. So that's the top 25 under 25. Still a good, pretty damn good list of young players, right? Like very, very top heavy, but quite a few guys at the top.
I like that list. There's other than a couple of guys, I think, and I'm not a prospect guy. That's more Brian's specialty, but it seems to me like almost 20 of those guys are going to play.
This is an AIH list, all right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because guys, what number were Kopp and Lowry?
Lowry was 11. And
yeah, like 11, 15 or something.
Yeah, he was 11.
Those two are top seven on the Jets list, though,
right? Yeah, and Kopp was 14.
Yeah, so 11 and 14 are really like 6 and 7 on the Jets.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing when you talked about it earlier, Chris, with Chevy, is that he's basically just taking whatever holes are left and filling them, and that's what he did in the offseason. With this, you know, this surplus of young prospects, you think that maybe he could look at this and be like, maybe I should turn this into something instead of, because it's great to have all these guys, but if most of them are just doing nothing on the Moose or sitting in the press box all the time, I mean, if the idea is that maybe he'll get some serious time in a year or two, then that's one thing. But some of these guys, I mean, what's his name? Fucking Joel Armia has been in the league as long as Shifley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at this point, Joel Armia, people talk about what his potential is. Is he not just what he is at this point?
He is who he is. Because if he wasn't who he is, he'd be like top tier, right? He's another one of those middling forwards that, you know, have flashes of brilliance, but in reality, he's an average to below average NHLer, right? He's not going to be anymore,
which is scary. Again, I like Joel Armia fine, but you're playing him. What does he get? 25 points a year, whatever the number is. I'm not positive. When you could be sitting again, we'll use him because we always do. A Nick Batan who could be an 80-point guy.
No, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I'm saying potentially if he plays second line, if he plays first line power play, whatever the number is, 65. I don't know.
He's not an 80-point guy. I mean, that's like NHL elite, right?
But
it's elite nowadays. Sure.
But we get back to the same thing. Like Kopp, Armia, and Lowry would make a great fourth line. You know what I mean? Like, that's your fourth line. That's a solid fourth line. If we have them playing on the fourth line, we're a contending team. You guys.
So then you're talking about looking at a third line of something like what? A Patan? Connor?
And have Rostick on the roster in the top nine. Like, I don't know. Like, youth, speed, and skill. Like, isn't that how you win a Stanley? Like, I don't know. How did the Pittsburgh
Perreault, Patan, and Dano?
Like,
Connor on the first. Little Lowry, or Little Liney, and Ehlers on the second.
Oh, man, that's so tasty. Like, really? How isn't that tasty?
I guess so. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think that they're... Like, I think they're all good players. I think they need more opportunities. I'm just not necessarily thinking that you slot these guys in and instantly you get this great level of success. Maybe you do. I mean,
I think the possibility with Perreault being playing with those guys too is, right? He makes other players better. Again, I shouldn't have used point totals, but you have guys with skill and guys that can make plays playing in those minutes. You also don't have to play them in those minutes when you're ahead in a game. And right? And Lowry can bump up and play those minutes because he's a good defender, right? But when you're down a goal or two, those guys need some ice time. You're not doing anything with Nick Batan. If he's going to play, he can't play 6 minutes. It's just a waste.
No, or with the likes of a Chris Thorburn. Like, you know what
or,
I mean? Like,
or with his line mates, exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a really important question for all the pom-poms out there, because I'm sure so many of you listen to this podcast, but... Any of you pom-poms, who's right here? Is Chevy right for drafting the players, or is Maurice right for not sitting them? Because pom-poms tend to think that they're both right.
I've been saying that for 6 years before I was even on Twitter. You have to be, one of them has to be wrong. The coach has to be wrong, or the GM has to be wrong with this team. One of them has to be doing something incorrectly. Or the players we have aren't very good. That's another option.
But we do have good players.
I agree, but that's the only other option of the two, that one of them's making mistakes, right? That they're not as good as people say they are.
So we also have, you know, now that we're in to September, we're getting some of the predictions out for where the Jets are going to finish the season. And... I'd say the consensus. I mean, I've gone through, you know, the hockey news and then some other articles on, you know, different sites out there. But the consensus that I'm getting is still generally that the Jets aren't a playoff team. Are you guys seeing the same thing?
Yes.
Now, yeah. So then the next question is, do you guys agree?
Do we agree that
they're not a playoff team?
They're not a playoff team.
When people ask me, that my response is it depends how long Paul Maurice is the coach.
Well, but we were a backup goaltender from being in the last playoff squad last year, though.
That's true. Half of me thinks they're going to make it despite the coaching. But the other half is look at the. I don't spend a lot of time looking at the table and looking at other teams. But I don't know where we slot in. Unless we're going to go ahead and go gangbusters and win whatever it is, 47 games and completely turn into an elite team, I don't know where you sneak in.
I think they're like 8 to 10 in the conference, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
they're going to be at the bottom of the league, right? At the bottom of the playoff picture.
What I'm reading is generally that this team is now has got plenty of elite talent, right? Like plenty of it. You know, Scheifele, Ehlers, Wheeler, Liney are like tremendous forwards. And Byfuglien and Trouba are like, you know, you're great as your first two defensemen. And your drop-off isn't that steep afterwards, but ultimately the downfalls for this team seem to be the same things that have haunted them in the past. It's goaltending, and there's question marks there, and it's, you know, discipline / special teams. Like, those are the two things, right?
And all of the issues are coaching issues, in my opinion. Player deployment and special teams are the two biggest things right now.
So, I don't know. Like, it's hard because those things haven't really changed. And when it comes to the team that you're putting out there, again, I've mentioned this before, but, you know, Scheifele is great. I think that he brings what he brought this year, and he does that consistently for a while. But I don't think that Scheifele next year takes another step and becomes Connor McDavid, right?
He's a solid first line centerman.
Yeah, well, he's an elite number one center in the league at this point, right? But you had that last year. Like, he's not coming in this year and bringing something new to the table, right? It's what he is, what he is.
And then this year is the emergence of Liney and him taking more of a prominent role and maybe being on the first line power play unit. Like,
yeah. So Wheeler is what he is. Like, most of the older players are what they are. So the guys who have some room to kind of step up and bring more this coming season than they did last season. Liney's one of them. Ehlers is another. Trouba and Morrissey, right? Like, those are the guys who really, you know, they've performed really well, but they need to take it, like, they need to take one more step.
Yes. So, and then there's guys that are not going to get any more steps because they are who they are. Lowry, Armia, Kopp. Those guys aren't getting any better either.
Mm-hmm.
So you have either Roslovic and Connor that can come in and make an impact, or like you say, those three or four guys make one more significant jump.
Yeah. So barring injury, those four guys that I think need to make a jump, like, I would put my own money down that three out of the four will be there. Like, that they will do even more than what they've brought to the table before. The guys at the top are going to be what they have been, and that's great. The guys lower are going to be what they've been, and that's great. So we're all set, right? Like, we're all set up front with forwards. That's easy. On defense,
it's easy if we've got to qualify it one more time, Alan. It's easy if Hendricks and Tanev aren't playing 40 plus games this year.
They will be.
Yeah. On defense, it's not deep, but what you have is good, right?
Yes.
I mean, no one talks about Tyler Myers. Is he going to play this year?
Hopefully.
You know, if Tyler Myers comes back, and I mean, again, people have differing opinions on him, but he's not a garbage defenseman. Like, he's, at the very bare minimum, he's good. And so he's a massive upgrade if he's playing this year over, you know, as part of our defensive core. So the defensive core looks better, right?
If let's be clear, if he's not healthy, then Kulikov isn't a signing again. He's a replacement.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah. And so then the goaltending, I mean, we'll see. Maybe Mason's better.
But like we've also talked about on that, as long as Mason is as good as Hellebuck was last year, they'll be okay.
But he's the starting goalie though.
Right. But as long as they're both as good as both of they were last year, they'll be okay. It's not good, but they'll be okay.
They'll be in the mix, yeah.
Right.
Just like, you know, the only time we made the playoffs, Hutchinson played out of his tree, and our goaltending got us to the playoffs, right?
Yes, Michael Hutchinson's first 3 months of the season got us to the playoffs, despite what everyone will tell you.
Exactly.
So we're down to the coaching. That's what it's going to come down to. I think I will be bold. I'm going to say that the Jets are going to make the playoffs. And I'm going to go as far as to say that they will finish. I think that they will finish 6th seed.
You're such a troll.
I know, right?
You're trolling. You're absolutely trolling right now.
And the main reason, the thing that I'm most nervous about is the coaching as well. It feels to me like everything is in place, that if this team doesn't get off to a quick start, that they'll move on with the coach.
You think so?
Yes.
Like early, or like prior to mid-season?
They'll
100%. That's why they haven't re-signed him. Because they're giving themselves that leeway. For sure, that's the first like super hockey thing they've done.
So a November replacement is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and other than that, you know, I think that given the right deployment, and again, barring, you know, injuries to your elite guys, like people, by the way, people talk about, oh, all the injuries and look what we suffered through. I mean, aside from on defense, like when some fucking jobber on your, you know, fourth line forward gets hurt, who cares? Like, seriously, you've got enough talent that you can just slot somebody in at that point. So unless, you know, unless one of your mega elite guys gets hurt, I think you're going to be fine with the rest of the team.
On forward, it shouldn't matter unless Shifley gets hurt. Honestly, unless Shifley, that's the only one, it shouldn't matter on forward, really.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think that they'll do it because they will be a much better team. I hate the people that are like, well, the Jets will probably make the playoffs because other teams will get worse. It's like, that's not how, like, you know, way to be really into sports. It's like, hey, I'm not going to work to make myself better. I'm just going to wait for everybody else to decline.
And I mean, you know what's funny about... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, no, that's the whole thing, which is funny about sports, is because the other saying is, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
Right? The Bombers tried that for a lot of years, where they're like, we're close, and then they come back the next year, and this is the CFL, and they come back with, you know, 44 of the same 50 guys or whatever. It's like, it doesn't work like that, man. You've got to get rid of the junk.
So are you're saying that they finished 4th in the Central?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'll say that. Fuck it. I'll be bold. I mean,
well, who do you have ahead of them?
Let me see here. I'll tell you who I have behind them. Behind them, I will have Colorado. I will have Dallas. And I will say... Fuck it. I will say... the Blues.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I can see them beating Colorado and Dallas, but... Or, sorry, Colorado and St. Louis. But I'm not sure, but Dallas, they had 117 points 2 years ago.
And yeah. They have a goal.
And they got a lot better this year. Like, I don't know. And are they going to be better than Minnesota or Chicago?
Maybe.
Actually, you know what? I changed that. I changed my answer from St. Louis to Minnesota.
What?
Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota's going to fall behind.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
yes. So
you walked right into that, Al.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? You think that they're going to miss?
Go ahead, Roddy.
I don't know.
Good answer.
Honestly, if Maurice is in control, they miss. What am I going to say?
So do you think that if he's not in control, they make it?
Well, yeah. If he's not the coach, then I think they have a chance of making it. Like if he's the coach, then I can't see them not having discipline issues. I can't see them not having Adam Lowry on the first unit power play and third line center. I can't see them busting through that. You know what I mean? If the objective is to score more goals in the opposition, and you have a coach that continually puts out guys that will consistently score less goals, like how are you gonna succeed? Honestly.
I hate to be those fans, right? Because isn't that like the laziest fan opinion? Is that it's coaching? Like, that's the laziest fan opinion, right? It's no. The quarterback. It's the quarterback, or you know what I mean? Just fire the coach. I know, not in our universe, because only in Winnipeg do fans respect the management more than they respect players. It's the only market in but the world.
It's logic, though, right? It's logic. We have a shitty ass penalty kill, shitty ass power play. We draw the most fucking penalties. We have the worst discipline issues. We have no fucking system. We put face punchers out there instead of goal scorers. We've got the rookie of the year candidate who scores 30 goals, and he's not on the first unit power play. It's like, did we forget that hockey is about scoring more goals than the opposition, or what?
And like, what player should have done a better job this year, given what they were given? Maybe Connor Hellebuck.
Maybe.
Like, yeah, with the system and with the guys that he's playing with, I'll agree with that. Maybe, and you guys know I'm a big fan. So why do these fans continue to say that it's the player? Well, they don't say it's the players either. They just say it's not the coach.
It's not the coach, and it's the players that we're, you know.
But they don't insult the players either, because so-and-so is so great, and, oh my, you know, Chris Thorburn is, he's the, you know, this and that. So who, where's the problem? Is there no problem? Because that's what a lot of people would have you believe.
A lot of fans talk like there is no problem. And again, then they point fingers at us, and it's like, look, guys, like, look at the facts. This team has not been in the playoffs 5 out of 6 years. They haven't won a playoff game, and they weren't even close to the playoffs in the last 2 years. So you tell me,
the playoffs, Michael Hutchinson played out of his tree to keep them in the mix. Yeah.
So how do you look at that situation and go, everything is cool, man?
If everything's cool, what's your goal as a fan? You're okay with 3 games below 500 every single year? The Bombers haven't won a Grey Cup in 26 years. Is that your number? 26? Now we're mad?
Don't bring up them.
No, I'm just, you know what I mean? What's the local temperature? What's the temperature for what? Because people have always said for the last 4 or 5 years, oh, they're just new, they're just developing this and that. So what's the cutoff? When are the passes stopped?
You just put Sean Paul in my head. But anyways.
All right, guys. Let's go to Ask the Superfans, because we're already past 40 minutes and I've got a hard stop. So at AIH Superfans on the Twitter is where you can reach us. Use the hashtag Ask the Superfans and we will read your takes and answer your questions here with zero expertise amongst us. But thanks for asking us anyways.
I always say it. We're fans, yep. Not experts.
Yeah. Reese Malisky asks, is Kyle Connor a regular this year on the Winnipeg Jets? Which line? So don't say where he should be. Is he?
I can't see it.
If
Paul Maurice, I can't see it.
If he was good enough to make the team last year without 29 goals in the AHL, how is he conceivably not good enough to make the team this year? That's just straight logic, whether your coach is who it is or who it isn't. If he was good enough last year, he should be way better this year. Not saying that that's how it's going to play out. I'm just saying that to me, that's...
No, but the question is he or isn't he? At the beginning of the year, if Paul Maurice is a coach, no.
He is on the moose, is what you're saying, or he's in the press box.
Yeah, either. He's not on the ice.
Okay, second half of this question. How about Ross Levesque? I think Roslovic's on the moose.
Yeah, no.
For sure.
Roslovic, sorry, I said it last time I recorded. Roslovic is the Brian Little replacement. He has to be. The worry, of course, is that they're going to be too loyal to Little and not trade him and re-sign him and completely mess with that natural draft and develop that they've created.
At Graham Smith 15 asks, going into camp, is this the most talented roster Jets 2.0 has ever had? Yes.
Well, period. Just fraction. Mark Stewart and Chris Thorburn on the team. So.
I mean, they're absolutely the most talented, right? Like, you've got, look at the, you know, when the NHL puts out their top, you know, or the Hockey News puts out their top 50 players in the league list. what, 4 out of the 22 or something like that? Or you know, sorry, no, it's the scoring list. That's what it is, not the top 50. But even in the top 50, there are two Jets there. But in the, you know, the scoring leaders, I think they got 4 Jets in the top 25.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's not even a comparison. Yeah, that's sure. full stop, as they say. Yeah.
And keep in sure mind stuff. That also Dustin Byfuglien is going to be a top 10 scoring defenseman.
Absolutely.
Jimmy at Jimmy underscore Peg. What must Paul Maurice do in order to get re-signed this offseason?
Fuck.
He's not getting re-signed this offseason.
No, he's that's, not. He's,
sorry, impossible. I think he means this offseason after this one, I'm guessing, maybe? Does he get, well, you know?
He needs to make the playoffs and be a playoff contender the whole year. He has to be above the line the whole year. I'm going to say he has to be at least 4th in the Central and in the playoff picture right from the beginning of the year to get re-signed. Because if he's not, you know, he could get fired.
Mikey McMikeface at Mike underscore Young. Will our Beer Snake shirts be ready for the Banjo Bowl? My answer is fuck the Beer Snake. Stop playing with stop playing with garbage at games, please. Like, seriously, people fucking, like, just make toys out of their garbage. Well, you know, fuck.
Anyway. The answer is by Thursday.
And then you guys profit off of the garbage playing?
That's good.
Right. Why don't I make shirts with just...
The Bombers didn't want to do it.
I'll just put shirts out with a big fucking dumpster on them. Be like, there.
The snake coming out.
Yeah, and just write Winnipeg Sports.
Apples to apples or fuck off, Alan.
Andy Rolfe at Patty Argy Bargy. Asks, Kulikov will be paired with Byfuglien, Trouba, or Myers?
Byfuglien.
I can't remember. I thought we talked about...
But ideally, it's Morrissey, Trouba, Byfuglien, Kulikov, and Myers, and Enstrom.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Perfect world, yeah.
His second half of the question we answered, he's asking where Connor will start the season. Yeah.
Sorry, Alan. Then if it's what it will be, then he'll probably be with Melchiori.
Hashtag. Oh fuck! I forgot to talk about this thing too. Hashtag Rise Together. At NHL Jest. I don't know who that is. Some jerk that makes a parody account and is a bully. I mentioned Trouba today. Does that mean I'm about to get tattled on and suspended? Yes.
Absolutely. Depends if you put MILF in the same tweet.
Oh boy.
What did you guys think about the hashtag? Did you like that they teased it and then they came out with their little video and they're like, "Rise together." That's what our big announcement is. We made up a hashtag.
We have the saddest. We have the saddest Twitter presence of anybody in any pro sports. I'm just going to say that out there.
In 1986, it would have been really cool to like tease your new slogan in the time of social media. Man, just 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, put it out there. It should work for itself. You shouldn't have to tease it. And talk about a lame, lame, lame hashtag. The Blue Jays are already using it. And like Roddy said, we know what the goal song is going to be now. So that's even worse.
The Parachute Club is going
to. The Parachute Club, rise up.
But they should pair it with all the phallic Winnipeg symbols, right? Like the penis bridge and the dildo bridge and rise together. It should be a big marketing.
It's fantastic. Also, I liked how Trouba wasn't at all in that... In that video, there was him at one point, very briefly at one point, skating in to congratulate someone in a goal in a highlight. But at the start, they show faces of the players looking all like, "I'm fucking serious." And he's not one of them, but there's Tyler Myers.
Yeah, might never play another hockey game again.
Should Tyler Myers like laid up in his hospital bed, just like looking seriously into the camera?
Well, they wanted him to rise up out of his hospital bed.
Rise up out of his wheelchair.
What about Blake Wheeler? What about Blake Wheeler calling everybody out?
What's that?
What about Blake Wheeler calling everybody out? That was pretty good.
And telling the fans to, this is the season more than ever?
Yeah.
He didn't call out the players. He called out the fans, didn't he?
He called everybody. No.
He was like,
called up the organization.
I thought he called out the fans.
It's about fucking time. Let's rise together.
He said, shit or get off the pot. Either we're going to win this year or we're not. That's completely at the team.
I thought that was at the fans.
Yeah, it was directed to us trolls to stop trolling. Is basically what it was. Get on board. Fuck off already is what he's saying, you fucking trolls. That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, shut up. All to us, you're just a wallet with legs. B-Man in the BW at Super Jets fan asks, will the new concourse renovations have a positive effect on the penalty kill?
Oof, kid cares. Number one, did he ask for permission to put Super and Fan and Jets in the same freaking Twitter handle?
Yeah, I know. It's like it's a parody account and he's a bully.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Seriously. We have feelings too, you know?
Yeah, we don't just bully people, you know? Yeah. Maybe the new concourse renovations will keep the ice cold so people can still leave in between periods and go get cheap beer.
You can't leave. You're stuck in the arena.
You can't go for a dart anymore, Chris.
You can't go and piss on the side of the building like people like to do during the intermission either.
We can't meet out front and play swords while having a dart getting here.
I like to go to Dollarama in the intermission and get a Coke. That's what I like to do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That bargain store that's right across the street from the MTS Center, the best concession stand that they have.
That's right. Actually, I never thought of that until right now, and that would be pretty good. Cheap M&M peanuts.
You can't have a cheap Coke and a smile while playing swords and having a dart in it.
That's it.
So that's all of the questions for Ask the Superfan. So again, everybody,
that's it?
Huh?
We haven't been on for how long, and that's it?
Yeah, but what's really happened this summer? And I mean, we haven't been on for so long that we've probably lost like most of our listeners.
The summer of Chevy is what's happened this summer. It's the summer of Chevy.
I got a question from a former Twitter user just texted in fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Not at Jet Strolling because he doesn't exist. Wants to know how many games until Paul Maurice has the losing record of all time losing as coach.
Well, he's only what, 7 games away from being the losingest coach in the NHL, right? Isn't that it?
I shouldn't have put Alan on the spot here because I don't have the number. So
it's like 7
most losses. let's see. Here we go. My keyboard's being screwed up. Most losses, NHL coach.
He's second last. I know that. Like he's
And are you second or are you like 745th? How does that, like, is it ranked by how many people have ever coached? Or
I love how it gives me the first thing when I put most losses NHL coach. The first thing that comes up is the losingest coaches in NFL history. So that's great. Yeah, I really appreciate that. So I'm not sure I'm going to Hockey Reference. I mean, we know he's up there, right? We know that he's up there. Yeah,
it's a handful of games, right? Maybe two handfuls.
7 or 8.
Here we go. He's actually third on the list, by the way. He is the third losingest coach. He is 8 away from the top. But of course, he's an elite losing coach because he will probably get there before his 1400th game. The top two are Al Arbor and Scotty Bowman.
Bowman, yeah. We're talking dynasty coaches, right?
Scotty Bowman coached 2,141 games. He has 1,244 wins and 573 losses.
Yeah.
That's great. Ridiculous.
And Al Arbor, you know, he won 4 Stanley Cups in a row.
Yeah.
And had really pitiful New York Islander teams after that, too.
You know, here's the other thing that we should mention. Like, Paul Maurice is closing in on the record. Maybe we should include the 101 overtime losses as well.
We should, because that is true.
Yeah, he has 101 overtime losses as well. So, really, he's there.
Which inflates his winning percentage as well, right?
Yeah, big time.
Hugely. So true 500, he is way below true 500.
Yes, he is.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's dog shit rotten. So fantastic. I'm trying to see. I'm scrolling through the list of coaches here, and I've sorted it from worst winning percentage to best, and I'm just looking at games coached to see who's really bad. George Kingston is 28-129. They actually let the dude coach 164 games. Lou Agnotti, I don't know who the fuck that is. He was 22-78, so that's not so good. There's a whole bunch of people here, but Maurice is pretty, you know, the numbers for some of these coaches don't even come close to Maurice. Like, Maurice is a remarkable guy, where he's, you know, they've let him coach, what, 1,000 games plus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the league, and yet he's going to be a losing coach, like, big time. Here he is, 1,365 games. And below him...
Statistically, Barry Trotz is kind of the same type of numbers as Paul Maurice, but Barry Trotz was the one and only coach for the Nashville Predators and expansion team for how long, right?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. What's crazy about Maurice is there's a guy that just coaches 500 no matter who he's coaching. Barry Trotz, for example, has 4 terrible years when Nashville first starts, and then he coaches 20 games over, and it's an up and down when your roster turns over and this sort of stuff. Maurice just coaches slightly below 500 all the time.
That's wonderful. All right, guys, on that happy note, we're almost at an hour, and I've got to go, so we're going to end the show, and I'm sure everybody's very sad to hear that. But I don't know, are we going to come back in, you know, are we going to wait another month, or are we going to come back when training camp starts? Is that what the plan is?
Of course, yeah, sure.
You know, and then we get to the season, and hopefully in the season we go back to weekly, crossing our fingers.
We should have an intrepid reporter at FanFest and take some video.
And get some autographs and selfies.
Yes.
Please.
We should recruit somebody to do that. Somebody who used to be on Twitter is not on Twitter anymore, maybe.
We'll see if he wants to do it. Yeah, you guys go ahead. Do it, you know. See if you can file a report.
What's nice is that person and I have young kids, so it's not a big deal to head out there and do some of those things because it's for our kids, not necessarily for our 60-year-old selves.
Yeah, so you don't have any 55-year-olds pushing you out of the way to excitedly get their picture taken with the 18-year-old prospects?
You should take your little kids to the fan fest with helmets and elbow pads on so that they can be ready.
Just in case.
Jesus. With a sign.
Yeah.
With a sign. 60-year-olds beware.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, again, go to Twitter and look up at AIH Superfans because that's our home for our little Twitter fest out there. ArcticIceHockey.com. We are at this point still affiliated with them. So go over there for your Winnipeg Jets news and notes. And until next week, I am your super fan friend. My name is Alan on Twitter at Slip with 5 eyes or Slip.
Yo, this is Roddy at Big Pappy Peg City.
And I'm Chris, the angry mailman at CMAC Live.
Gangsta mailman.
Whatever it is, it's not true.
All right, folks, we will see you all in a couple of weeks. Go Jets! Woo.